माधव गुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव गुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव गुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरिवरदारी, जनवल्लभा गिरिवर, जय गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवरदारी, जय गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवरदारी। यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव गुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव गुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवरदारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवरदारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव गुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव गुंज बिहारी, जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य स्तोत्र सत श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की, अनंत कोटि वैष्णववृंद की, ग्रांतरा श्रीमद भागवतम की। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः, श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामय्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकं, वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च, श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं, श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च, हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते, गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते, तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे मुखं करोति वाचलं पंगुं लंगायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुदीनतारिणं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वरं हरे कृष्ण We are continuing our study of the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 31, texts 13 and 14. Text 13. Shreyasam api sarvesham. Shreyasam api sarvesham. Atma hi avadhir artah. आत्मा हि अवधिर अर्थः सर्वेषाम् अपि भूतानां सर्वेषाम् अपि भूतानां हरिर् आत्मात्मदा प्रिया हरिर् आत्मात्मदा प्रिया श्रेयसाम् अपि सर्वेषाम् आत्मा हि अवधिरर्थः सर्वेषामपि भूतानां हरिरात्मात्मदप्रियः श्रेयसामपि सर्वेषाम् आत्मा हि अवधिरर्थः सर्वेषामपि भूतानां हरेर आत्मात्मदा प्रिया श्रेयसामपि सर्वेषाम् आत्मा हि अवधिरर्थः सर्वेषामपि भूतानां हरेर आत्मात्मदा प्रियाः श्रेयसामपि सर्वेषाम् आत्मा ह्यवधिरर्थः सर्वेषामपि भूतानां हरिरात्मात्मदप्रियाः वट् वट् ट्रान्स्लेशन् श्रेयसाम् आफ् ऑस्पिशियस् एक्टिविटीस् अपि Certainly, Sarvesham, all, Atma, the Self, He, certainly, Avadihi, destination, Arthah, factually, Sarvesham, of all, Api, certainly, Bhutanam, living entities, Harihi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Atma, The Supersoul, Atmadaha, who can give us our original identity, Priyaha, very dear. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Factually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original source of all self-realization. Consequently, The goal of all auspicious activities, karma, jnana, yoga, and bhakti is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Hare Krishna, we'd like to welcome all devotees for today's morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. Today we are seeing this section which is towards the end of the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and these are the divine instructions of Narada Muni to the Prachetas. So in one sense, if we see, the entire fourth canto is like a glorification of Narada Muni, because from the very beginning of the chapters of the fourth canto, we see the direct intervention of Narada Muni in the lives of so many devotees. Narada Muni gave his instructions in so many places to so many personalities. And we end the canto also now with the whole glorification of the activities of Prachetas. And here also comes the final, you can say, instructions of Narada Muni to the Prachetas before they leave back home, back to Godhead. So they are asking Narada Muni, and Narada Muni is speaking on the glories of bhakti, the glories of devotional service. So, you know, Prachetas are famous for doing their tapasya. Prachetas are famous for being good kings, ruling the world. But actually their fame is in being good devotees, because they follow what Narada Muni is mentioning. Jai Shri Radha Vrindavan Bihari Bhagavan Ki Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. So in this first verse, today we have two verses for discussion. In this first verse and the earlier verse that we have all been seeing, he's basically giving an essence of that perfection of birth. Why do we take birth? When is our birth perfected? Perfection of birth is to be engaged in pure devotional service. So someone who is said to have a birth certificate, when you're born, you have a birth certificate, which shows that you're born, right? Someone said, did you really take birth? I guess I did. But, you know, you show your birth cert, then you really took birth, officially, isn't it? So everyone has a birth certificate to show that you took birth. But that is not legal document in the spiritual world, that you took birth. Birth, what shows a good birth is that one engages in devotional service. So those who do not engage in devotional service, then what about them? Right? It's like that funny story that we tell to children. Right? There was once a man who passed away, he died. And everyone is carrying him on the shoulders, and everyone is going Ram Nam Satya Hai, and everyone is chanting Ram's name. And a small child asked the father that everyone is chanting Ram's name, why isn't that guy chanting? So the father said that because he's dead. Those who are dead, they don't chant. So the son is like, oh. So if you're alive, right? Even I think Kabir has one a nice song he sings, you know, that he says that if you don't chant the name of Ram, your mouth is just full of dust, meaning you're dead. Mukdhulapadi, he says it like that. If you don't chant the name of Ram, your mouth is, you know, full of dust. So basically, Narada Muni is saying the same thing, that the goal of life to actually be considered living is that one engages in devotional service. And what is perfection in devotional service? What is perfection? Doing devotional activities is considered the perfection of activity. Anything else does not matter. So in the previous verses we heard yesterday, day before, that, you know, there's no need for karma, jnana, and other processes, that performing bhakti alone is sufficient. So let's see the purport, what Srila Prabhupada says. Purport: the living entity is the marginal energy of the Supreme Lord, and the material world is the external energy. Under the circumstances, one must understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is factually the original source of both matter and spirit. So we make a distinction, what is matter, what is spirit. But ultimately, like Srila Prabhupada gives that analogy to the electricity, whether it goes through an air conditioning unit or whether it goes through a heating unit, doesn't matter, electricity is electricity. So similarly, in one sense, for the Lord, there is no matter and spirit. But for us, we discern between matter and spirit. Why? Because spirit reminds us of Krishna and matter makes us forgetful of Krishna. We get absorbed in matter. Why? Because we try to lord over or control matter. So when we try to control something that is inferior to us, the verse will come now. Prabhupada will mention this. So then we start to get absorbed in it. And we forgot that we are subservient. So this is explained in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 7.4 and 5, ಭೂಮಿರಪೋನಲೋ ವಾಯುರ್ ಕಮ್ಮನೋ ಬುದ್ಧಿರೇವ ಚ ಅಹಂಕಾರ ಇತಿಯಂ ಮೇ ಭಿನ್ನ ಪ್ರಾಕೃತಿರಷ್ಟದ ಅಪರೇಯಂ ಇತಸ್ತು ಅನ್ಯಾಂ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿಂ ವಿಧಿ ಮೇ ಪರಾಂ ಜೀವಭೂತ ಮಹಾಬಾಹೋ ಯಯೇಧಂ ಧರ್ಯತೆ ಜಗತ್. ಸೊ ಇಸ್ ಇನ್ ದರ್ಸ್ ಅನದರ್ ಎನರ್ಜಿ ಆಫ್ ಮೈಂಡ್ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಸುಪೀರಿಯರ್. ಸೊ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ನೇಚರ್ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎನಿಟೀಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್, ರೈಟ್? ಸೊ Prabhupada translates, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and false ego, all together these eight comprise my separated material energies. But besides this inferior nature, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mine, which consists of all living entities who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. Prabhupada continues to say, the entire cosmic manifestation is but a combination of matter and spirit. The spiritual part is the living entity, and these living entities are described as prakriti or energy. The living entity is never described as purusha, the supreme person. So we know from shastras, sometimes the jivatma is called as a purusha. That is just to show his mentality of trying to enjoy. Therefore, to identify the living entity with the Supreme Lord is simply ignorance. The living entity is the marginal potency of the Supreme Lord. Although there is factually no difference between the energy and the energetic, the duty of the living entity is to understand his real identity. When he does, Krishna gives him all the facilities to come to the platform of devotional service. This is the perfection of life. This is indicated in the Vedic Upanishad. Prabhupada quotes a Vedic verse. Yamme vaisha vrinute tena labdhyas tasyai sa atma virvrinute tanum swam. Okay. So, what here Prabhupada is mentioning is the most, what we consider as a basic siddhanta, that the atma is different from the paramatma. Right? What we say, it's very basic. The jiva cannot be God, God cannot be jiva, but which the entire Vedic fold of those Vedic followers are confused in. Many other Vedic followers, for them, you know, to discern between Atma and Paramatma is very difficult. So today is also the holy appearance day of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he was known for this, you know. Rupa Anuga, Virudhata, all the Virudha Siddhanta, Appa Siddhanta, he used to go against it. So he used to establish very nicely this difference. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was an erudite scholar. Right, we all know how scholarly he was. He wrote that Surya Siddhanta and all. But in his matter, in the Gaudiya Math, he would never promote his matvasis, his disciples, to pursue studying Shastra academically. Instead, he always emphasized that the mood of studying Shastra as a receiver, not as a conqueror. So there's a very nice story that one time there was a gardener in the Gaudiya Math. So he was a very simple gardener who is illiterate. He did not know anything. And one time while walking, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had this character of catching people. Right? So while walking, he stopped and he called that gardener, come here. Tell me what you understand about Tattva Gyan. Now you catch a gardener and ask him about Tattva Gyan. What is he going to explain? No? So the gardener immediately folded his hands and told Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that, Gurudev, all that I know about Tattva Gyan, I heard from your classes. That's it. He says, very good. Explain to me. So the gardener was explaining that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, how Jiva is simultaneously same but different from the Lord, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, and explaining so many different things that Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur looked at his disciples and said, see, just by hearing, this is success. He is illiterate. He cannot even speak Bengali properly. He was telling. He can't even speak. This pastimes comes in Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhav by Bhakti Vikas Maharaj. He cannot even speak Bengali properly. Yet he knows all Siddhanta. What is the use? Many panditas are still struggling. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying. Many panditas are still struggling trying to understand this concept. His life is successful. So, definitely in Shastras, to understand the Lord is very difficult. Therefore, in the beginning of the first canto itself, Narada Muni says a similar thing. In the fifth chapter of the first canto, Narada Muni advises Vyasadev. He tells him that don't over-endeavor for the other transcendental paths. like jnana, karma, yoga, all these other transcendental parts, they're a little tough. They cannot seek perfection, or they cannot achieve perfection without devotional service. So he says one verse to him, Naishkarmyam apyachutta bhava varjitam na shobate jnanamalam niranjanam kutappunasya swadabhadram ishware na charpitam karma yadapi akaranam. Naishkarmyam api. Naishkarmyam means the, what do you say, activities of self-realization. You can say nice karma, good work. Naishkarmyam api. Although they are good stuff, they are jnana, they are karma, yoga, we accept that they are good stuff. Naishkarmyam api, but achuta bhava varjitam. If it does not have devotion, na shobate, doesn't look good. Na shobate means doesn't look good. Doesn't look pretty, actually. Doesn't look pretty. If you have transcendental path, but it is devoid of devotion to Hari, then it's not good at all. So like that, Narada Muni begins by saying. So this verse which Prabhupada quotes here, Yam evaisha vrinite tena labhyas tasyaiva atma vrinite tanum swam. It comes in many places in Bhagavadam. Prabhupada quotes this, Acharyas quote this. This verse comes from Katha Upanishad and Mundaka Upanishad. This is just two lines of the full verse. Maybe if you quote the full verse, those who have studied in Vidyapit, you will remember this verse. Nayamatma pravachena labdyo na medasa na bahuna shrutena yam evaisha vrunute tena labhyas tasyaisha atma vrunute tanum swam. He says, Nayam atma pravachena labhyo. You cannot achieve the Supreme Lord by your pravachans. Na medasa, nor by using your intelligence, you cannot achieve the Lord. Na bahuna shrutena, nor by hearing so many commentaries and studying so many different understandings can you achieve the Lord. How is the Lord achieved? He says, tasya esha atma, how you achieve that Supreme Lord? Tanum swam, the Lord has to reveal himself. So this comes a big discussion. The Lord, when he favors someone, then only can a person understand him. So what is this favor? Is the God, is Lord partial? Like he favors some people and he doesn't favor somebody else? So, you know, to who the Lord chooses, actually the translation that all the Acharyas use, even Jiva Goswami, he uses this word, to who the Lord chooses, to him the Lord reveals. So when you say choice, now seems partiality, isn't it? Lord is favorable to some people sitting in Govardhan Eco Village, and maybe not so favorable to somebody who's sitting outside of the gate. What does it mean, chooses to reveal himself? So Acharyas further explain that it means that who is favorable. So who is favorable? What makes a person favorable? So to understand this verse, they quote another verse from the 10th canto, where Brahmadev prays. Okay? Brahmadev prays for the mercy of the Lord. Atapi te deva padambo jadvaya prasad lesha anugrihita evahi janati tattvam bhagavan mahimno nachanya eko pichiram vichinvan. He says that, my Lord, I want the dust, the trace of the mercy of your two lotus feet. Padambo jadvaya prasad lesha anugrihita evahi. So Brahmadev is saying that because I aspire for the dust of your mercy of your lotus feet, therefore it enables us to understand you. So who becomes favorable? Who becomes eligible to understand the Lord? One who makes some effort for it, isn't it? Like even if you want to sit for any exam, you say that I'll pay so and so amount, let me sit for the exam. Now it's not just about money, it's also about qualification, isn't it? A person who has never gone to school, and he says, let me sit for the engineering entrance exam. I'll give you whatever it costs. You can pay the money, but if you're not qualified, how can you sit for it? Isn't it? Like some time ago, when we started this BRC, right? So they were asking who all have masters, who wants to do PhD. So then some of us has masters, you know? So we're like, yeah, sure, we can do PhD. But we have in engineering, and the PhD is in philosophy. So they said that just because you have a master's degree does not mean you can do a PhD in philosophy. I said, we'll pay for it. No, you have to sit for the that entrance exam is there. So similarly, we just because we are doing bhakti and we have all the paraphernalia right, we have the get up right, we have the mantra right, does not mean we're going to understand the Supreme Lord. We need the mercy of the Lord, right? So the Lord chooses only one who is eligible. So how this is, getting the favor of the Lord. In many places in Bhagavatam also, they mention that for one who is actually favored by the Lord, this word is used, favored. So favored means that one who actually gets the blessings of the Supreme Lord. Another verse that comes in the second canto only. Yesham sa esa bhagavan dhayayed ananta sarvatmana shrita pado yadi nirvyalikam. So he says, who gets the mercy of the Lord who is ananta daya, who is eternally, who is extremely merciful, Bhagavan who is dayayet anantaha, one who is sarvatmana ashritaha pado, with his whole heart he wants to take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. Yadi, if that person is nirvyalikam, he's not pretentious. If actually sincerely from the heart, one actually wants to take shelter of the Lord. Te dustaram atitaranti tadeva mayam. Such a person can atitaranti, can cross over the dustaram, which is very difficult, deva mayam, the maya of the Lord. Naisham mamahamitidi shvashrigala bhakshe. And what about the others who don't cross over? Oh, those who don't cross over deva mayam, they become sva, which dogs, shrigal means jackals, bhakshe, they become food for dogs and jackals. That means they die. The body dies. Right. So, one time in the Matta of Bhakti Saraswati Thakur, so Bhakti Saraswati Thakur was saying that how, like I earlier mentioned, he was very much emphasizing how devotees should have the right mood while studying Shastra. At the same time, he pushed for his disciples to preach as well. So he had very intelligent and literal disciples. So one of his disciple, one of his sannyasi disciples, thought that Guru Maharaj's desire is that this Chaitanya Gaudiya Vaishnavism be spread all over. So we need to prepare ourselves for preaching. So he started giving public speaking seminars to the Matvasis. And this Maharaj, he started explaining to Brahmacharis how do you present yourself, how to speak, In public speaking, when you call a person, you say, first you start with the attention getter. Start off your presentation with an attention getter. And then, substantiate your points. And then all these kind of get-ups you're telling him, put a joke in between, get people's attention, something like that. So when Bhakti Saraswati Thakur heard this, he became very angry. He says, stop this nonsense immediately. What do you think Harikatha is? Harikatha is a performance? So his disciple got so shocked with the guru becoming so angry, Sima Guru, no? He said, Harikatha is not a performance. He said, Harikatha can only be achieved if one have the right mood of submission, that one allows oneself to speak. So Bhakti Saraswati Thakur told that, what do you think? When I come to you, do you think I prepare myself to come to speak to you? He says, no. When I come to you, when I see your faces, I am divinely inspired by Krishna within my mind. What to speak for you? So he's such a merciful person. Huh? So he didn't approve of all these methods and means, but he emphasized that one should have actually pure desire to serve, right? To serve the Lord. So when Bhakti Saraswati Thakur was asked that what is important? Erudite scholarship? No, he was asked that. One of his disciples asked that, but Guru Maharaj, if we don't learn to read and write, how will we read Shastras? How will we understand Shastras? Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur said, Sevon Mukhe Hi Jivado. Just by serving, you will understand. He said, just by serving, you will learn. Of course, another flip side of all this is that Bhakti Saraswati Thakur also pushed one of his disciples, Dr. Sambit Anand, to get a PhD, to publish a thesis, And so, you know, in general, he would discourage the mood of erudite scholarship. But at the same time, for those select disciples, he would actually ask them to pursue into scholarly academic fields. Right. So, like we're seeing in this verse, the Lord appears or the Lord manifests when one actually has the mercy of the Lord. And the mercy of the Lord is obtained by hearing, by actually submissive hearing. Right. So, when he was asked, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur asked, how do you remember so many shlokas? How do you remember so many verses? How do you know so many citations? He said that I have just very critically and objectively analyzed the classes of my spiritual master and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Since a young boy, I have just heard from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur taught me what is Namabhas and what is Shuddha Nam. Just by hearing him, I have understood all conclusions. And you know, all of us also have this experience in ISKCON, from whatever temples we are from. We know there are those devotees who are not so scholarly, who may not read a lot, who may not study a lot, but their conclusions are right. Isn't it? I don't know if all of you, I've seen many devotees like that. They're very good conclusion. And sometimes those who especially do just pujari seva, and the whole day they're just doing pujari seva, a little here and there they hear, but they are very fixed. So these are the kind of personalities that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur favored over those who are, you know, going into just simple scholarism. But at the same time, like I said, so one of his disciples, Bhagavat Maharaj, I think his name was, he once approached Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and he said that, dear Gurudev, I want to study Shastras. Please engage a Pandit to teach me Shastras. So Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur thought, really? You want someone to teach you Shastras? Yeah, because this was the culture those days, isn't it? If someone wanted to learn Shastras, they would call a Pandit or some, you know, expert Shastriya person, and he would teach Shastra, whether Gita. It was the same in Advaita Acharya's house also. Advaita Acharya was the Pandit, right? Devanand Pandit and all. They would speak on, and everyone would come and listen from them. So this disciple asked Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, please hire someone to teach me Shastras in detail. Basically, I need tuition. He said, I need tutoring. Give me a tuition teacher. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, okay, go out to our matta and ask for Ramdas Prabhu. Ask for Ramdas Prabhu and Ramdas Prabhu will teach you. So this devotee was thinking, who is Ramdas Prabhu? There were so many people in the mattas at the time. So he went out and he started asking, Ramdas Prabhu, Ramdas Prabhu. You know, who is this Ramdas Prabhu? And Ramdas Prabhu was who? Ramdas Prabhu was one of the laborers in Chaitanya Gaudiya Math. He was one of the laborers. Okay? So he's a person that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had given Harinam Ashrita. He had given him Harinam. Of course, we know like at that time, like now in ISKCON, we have first initiation, second initiation, right? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur time, initiation, the word Diksha was only used for when you get a spiritual name and second initiation. But he would give Harinam to everyone. So this Harinam, Ramdas Prabhu was a Harinam Ashrita devotee. And Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur never gave him Diksha. He said for him, Diksha in the sense of Brahminical Diksha, okay, not our Diksha now, first initiation, not like that. He said that Brahminical Diksha he never gave to him. He said he did not need Brahminical Diksha. He said the purpose of Diksha, Brahminical Diksha, is so that you become attached to the holy name. And he said Ramdas Prabhu, what he was, although he was a laborer, he used to clean the fields, sweep the paths, throw out garbage. And while doing all this, he would always chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Right? Anyone would chastise him, he would humbly accept it. And still he would continue chanting. So, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur told that he can achieve perfection just by Harinam and Dham Seva. He did not need anything else. He did not need any extra thing. So this Bhagavat Maharaj found him, and Bhagavat Maharaj thought that when he asked this Ramdas that you are a laborer, so he thought that maybe my Gurudev is chastising me. Maybe he just want to pull my leg. So he went back to his spiritual master and said, Saraswati Thakur, and said, Gurudev, I've met Ramdas. Is he the Ramdas?
He's a laborer. He's illiterate. He's born in a, you know, low family. Generally, a pandit, you expect to be a Brahmin. He's born in a low caste family, and you're saying I should learn shastras from him? Yes, go and learn from him. He's a gardener, he's a laborer, he's a low caste, but he knows the truth. Go and learn from him. So Bhagavat Maharaj, a sannyasi, he goes to Ramdas and he asks him that, okay, Guru Maharaj has asked me, what can you teach me? So he says one thing, Sevon Mukhe Hi Jivado. He repeats that. And he says that my whole life, I am only focused about giving the best flowers and the best fruits for Krishna. Because this is for Krishna's pleasure. Okay? So, when hearing this, he said, this is a success of my life. To give the best flowers and the best fruits for Krishna's service. Having heard this, Bhagavat Maharaj came back to Bhakti Sanasa Thakur. And he said, I have learned, I have understood. He is also a smart gentleman. In actually his Grastha Ashram, he was a doctor before he took sannyas. So he came to Siddhanta Thakur, I have understood Gurudev, what do you mean? He said, this is the philosophy. Immediately he started quoting, Etava janma safalyam dehinamiha dehishu pranerarte diyavacha shreya acharinam sada. This verse was quoted by Krishna. When Krishna and Balaram were walking in the forest of Vrindavan and he looked at the trees, he says, perfection of life is to be like these trees. It's like, what? Perfection of life is to be like this. Etava janma safalyam. If you can give your pran, your life, if you can give your artha, your wealth, if you can give your vacha, your speaking power, for the service of the Lord, this is perfection. So, like this he understood, that this is the conclusion of Shastra. One more time, one more disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. His name is Gauradas. So, Gauradas came and asked his Gurudev, I want to learn Sanskrit. Okay, sometimes it happens, isn't it? I feel that, you know, Sanskrit is important. I want to learn Sanskrit. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur kept quiet. He wasn't very happy. He said, why you want to learn Sanskrit? He said, no. If I learn Sanskrit, I can be better in my ucharanam, in my pronunciation. I can be better in the understanding. So Siddhanta Thakur was not very happy. He told him that my Gurudev, Gaur Kishodas Babaji Maharaj, one time somebody approached him and said that I should learn Sanskrit. Gaur Kishore Babaji disapproved of him. That person went on and learned Sanskrit. He is actually telling a story of a person through his disciple. That person went on and learned Sanskrit. He became a big Bhagavat Kathakar. But he had no Hari Bhakti. And eventually he fell down. He was telling him indirectly. But this disciple was still a bit staunch, Gauradas. Sometimes it happens, isn't it? Especially in Brahmacharis, they want to learn little Sanskrit. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, very compassionate also, understand the scholarly ability of his disciples. He told him that everything there is in Hari. If you want to study, then better you use your energy in propagating of the Gaudiya Siddhanta. That is better than doing Sanskrit. So this disciple is also very intelligent. He understood what his guru meant. Every day, he would study the Harinamrita Vyakran, which was written by Jiva Goswami, which is a book on Vyakrana, Sanskrit, using Hari's name. So like that, he became so proficient. And you know, at the Gaudiya Mutt, at that time, so much services were there, especially for the Mutt Vasis. How he would study? He would study every night under a street lamp. When everyone was taking rest, at night he would stand under the street lamp and he would study the Harinamrita Vyakran. Now he became such an expert that when he passed the government exam, which was held in Calcutta for Sanskrit, and he got a degree. And the moment he got a degree in this, he became famous in the Gaudiya Prakash, the Nadia Prakash, the newspapers, the local devotional newspapers at that time. He became so famous that he could master such a complex subject matter. So this is a beautiful disciple and guru relationship. If one wants to achieve mercy, one cannot actually force it. That one wants to go through one's guru. Okay? So, there's another verse to cover. Okay, we'll read the 14th verse. The 14th verse is Narada Muni further saying that perfection of life is doing bhakti, and then he compares with all other processes. He gives an analogy. Okay, so I'll just recite the verse. Yata taror moola nishechanena tripyanti tatskanda bujhopashaka pranopahara chayatendriyanam tataiva sarvarhanam achyutejya. So the translation goes, as pouring water on the root of a tree energizes the trunk, branches, twigs and everything else, and as supplying food to the stomach enlivens the senses and limbs of the body, simply worshipping the Supreme Personality of God, a true devotional service automatically satisfies the demigods who are parts of that Supreme Personality. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada speaks about how this world is urdhva moolam adashakam. It's an upside down tree. And how do you nourish that tree? He says by worshipping Krishna. So Prabhupada says, Krishna is the root of everything. Therefore, rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Krishna Seva, means automatically serving all the demigods. Sometimes it is argued that karma and jnana require a mixture of bhakti in order to successfully be executed. Correct? We see many verses. Karma and jnana only become successful when there is a tinge of bhakti. And sometimes it is argued that bhakti also requires karma and jnana for its successful termination. The fact is, however, that although karma and jnana cannot be successful without bhakti, bhakti does not require the help of karma and jnana. Bhakti is independent. Right? The independent nature of bhakti. We study in bhakti shastri and all that. Actually, as described by Rupa Goswami, anya bilashita sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam. Pure devotional service should not be contaminated by the touch of karma and jnana. Means it should not be covered. We need jnana in the sense like this discussion is also jnana, but it is bhakti mahi jnana. It is knowledge which enhances devotion. So Prabhupada writes, modern society is involved in various philanthropical works, humanitarian works and so on. But people do not know that these activities will never be successful unless Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is brought into the center. One may ask, what harm is there in worshipping Krishna and the different parts of his body, the demigods? The answer is given in this verse. The point is that by supplying food to the stomach, the indriyas automatically become satisfied. If one tries to feed his eyes or ears independently, right, the result is havoc. Simply by supplying food to the stomach, all senses are satisfied. It is unnecessary or possible to render separate service to the individual senses. Okay. So while speaking this analogy that by worshipping Krishna, everyone is successful, by doing bhakti, everything is met, someone may question that, okay, I know I have to pour water on the root, but sometimes I think I like to pour water on some leaves also. Isn't that okay? I'll worship Krishna and I will also worship a little other of the devatas. Is that okay? Can't I do both? I understand Krishna is supreme, but let me do both. So then, an extension to this analogy is another analogy. Because this watering the root of the tree may not be a perfect analogy. Someone may say that, let me water the root and water some fruits also. Kya galti hai isme? Dono bhi karo. But then the analogy is extended. He says, like feeding the senses, you feed the stomach, then all the senses are vitalized, nourished. So here you cannot say, let me feed the stomach and let me try feeding the senses also. So Acharya say, if you try to separately feed the senses, you take a gulab jamun, try to put in the eye to increase my eyesight. If you take a samosa, try to put in my ear, eat something more a bit. You know, stomach is not feeding you enough. Let me increase my hearing power. What will happen? You will damage that senses. You will damage that senses. So independently or separately, trying to worship the devatas can create havoc because you're damaging that relationship. Okay? So there is no need for separate worship actually like that. So Prabhupada quotes this last line in the purport. He says, he quotes Chaitanya Charitamrit where the Lord says, Krishna bhakti koile sarva karma krita hai. One should have faith that just by doing Krishna bhakti, everything is automatically accomplished. So this is the faith that sometimes we need to develop, and it requires us sometimes to study shastras. So today is also the disappearance day of one more acharya, a great personality, Srila Purushottam Das Thakur. So I thought we'll discuss a bit about him. Now, you know, many personalities that come in our Vaishnav calendar, and most of them sometimes we know, we have heard of, they're the current acharyas, or they are the parshats, the actual Panchatattva, or someone who's in time of Lord Chaitanya. But here comes Purushottam Das Thakur, who comes on the calendar twice. His disappearance day today, and a few months later, his appearance day will come. So such a personality, why does he come on the calendar twice, isn't it? And most of us, myself included, may not even remember who Purushottam Das Thakur is. Isn't it? Like, do baar aaya calendar mein kyun? Itna important kya hai? Who is he? Right? So Purushottam Das Thakur is one of the associates of Lord Chaitanya. More so, he is actually one of the companions of Lord Nityananda. Okay? So he's so fortunate, in his family, four generations have actually seen and reciprocated with Lord Chaitanya. His grandfather, Kamsari Sen, knew Lord Chaitanya. His father, Sadashiv Kaviraj, also knew Lord Chaitanya. And he himself, Purushottam Thakur, grew up at the time of Lord Nityananda. So as small boys, they used to play. They used to play Krishna Leela. Now who is Purushottam Das Thakur? So in some purports it's mentioned that Purushottam Das Thakur, sometimes called as Nagara Purushottam, he is actually Stoka Krishna Das, one of the gopas, close gopa companions of Krishna. That's Stoka Krishna. So he comes again, and very humble, very simple, you know, they do pastimes with Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya. And his father, who is Sadashiv Kaviraj, is said to be Chandravali, right? And his grandfather is said to be Ratnavali, one more Sakhi, right? So such great personalities, if you think about it, they are almost unknown, unheard. Did they write some book? Did they have some special deity? So like that, three generations are very glorious. And his son is called Kanai Thakur. Okay, there are two Kanai Thakurs in Gaudiya history, at least two famous. There are many. One is the son of Raghunandan Thakur, who's Kanai Thakur, and this is the son of Purushottam Thakur. So the small boy Kanai Thakur, when he was just 5 years old, he used to be absorbed so much in Krishna's name that Nityananda Prabhu gave him the name Shishu Krishna Das. Shishu Krishna Das, was a small boy. Right? He was so fortunate, although when he born, his mother passed away, that immediately Nityananda Prabhu and his wife, Janava Devi, took the boy like their own child. In fact, one time when Janava Devi went to Vrindavan Yatra, took the boy for Vrindavan Yatra. 5 years old, you got to go Vrindavan, isn't it? So fortunate. So later, because of his absorption in Krishna, he was given the name Kanai Thakur. And he used to go always in ecstasy, chanting and dancing. So this is a very glorious family. But actually, the glory of Gaudiya Vaishnavism is what? That most of the glorious people are unknown. Most of the glorious people are unknown. Sometimes we think, you know, that let me do something great, let me do something big, let me do something revolutionary, let me put my mark in history. Log yaad karna chahiye, main tha, put my mark. You know, we feel that until unless I do something, then I feel it. Else I feel like, you know. But we see throughout the history of the Gaudiya Vaishnavism, there are so many devotees who are just devotees. Just being nice devotees, pakka devotees, doing their devotion, being satisfied and going back to Godhead. So this is the glory of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas actually. If you look even at the six Goswamis, right? We have the Samadhi of Raghunath Das Goswami. We have, you know, Gopal Bhatta Goswami Samadhi. We know where all the Acharya Samadhi, Jiva Goswami, correct? So many Samadhis. Where is the Samadhi of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami? He's one of the six Goswamis, isn't it? Where is his Samadhi? Nobody knows. And in fact, many devotees go to Vrindavan, they have not even visited the Samadhi of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. So his Samadhi comes near Radha Govind temple, because his whole life he worshipped Radha Govind in that 64, they call it, 64 crore, something, right? 64 crore, na? 64 Mahant area, which is behind Ranganath Temple, or close to Ranganath Temple, you can say. So such a great acharya, Raghunath Bhatta. No deities, no personal deities, no books, simple, only absorbed in chanting Bhagavadam and worshipping the deities, making jewelry for the deities. But he's one of the six Goswamis. So glorious he is, isn't it? His samadhi is unknown. Right. And some of the acharyas also, their samadhi was moved, shifted, re-exhumed. So this is the, you know, great fortune of the Gaudiya Parampara, where there's no desire to do anything great. If something great happens, then it is Krishna Kripa. It is Krishna's desire. Right. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to very much chastise people from doing what is called as, half reading. Right. He didn't like that. He didn't like that people who do half reading would pick up many books and try to, you know, read here and there and try to, you know, don't understand anything. He says, what is the use? He said, better you read a few books. Better you read a few books and understand them nicely rather than, you know, try to read so many books. Right. One of the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So you know, this education system that we have in ISKCON, Bhakti Sastri Bhakti, was started by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Of course, his syllabus was more difficult. In his Bhakti Shastri, there was Mukundamala Stotra also. Right? And he expected everyone to memorize all the shlokas. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada, merciful. Huh? So one of his disciples, Yati Shekhar Prabhu. So Yati Shekhar Prabhu got his Bhakti Shastri degree, but he had not even studied Bhagavad Gita properly. He had not even studied Bhagavadam properly. He had not even studied Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu properly. But he was knowledgeable in the Siddhant simply by always listening to the classes of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Later age, this Yati Shekhar Prabhu recalls, at a later age when he actually got time to read and study, then he realized, what all I'm reading in this Shastra, this is already spoken by my Gurudev. Kuch naya nahi hai. There's nothing new when he read this. Right? So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur always glorify him because he said by rendering Hari Seva under the Guru's instruction, he understood all conclusions. Like that, very nice. And So we'll end this last pastime. So one time the proposal came from Calcutta University. So Calcutta University is a very big university even today. It is like your IIT and all you have in Mumbai. So one time the proposal came from Calcutta University to the Gaudiya Math, to Gaudiya Matha, that they asked Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to start a Chaitanya Charitamrita course in Calcutta University. Teach CC in the university. They came direct and asked him, you please teach Chaitanya Charita. It sounds like a good proposition, isn't it? We also trying sometimes something. Gita me, university me padu, Bhagavadam me. What did Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur do? He refused it. He got so angry. He said, Chaitanya Charitamrita is not an ordinary book that is meant for the perusal of one and all. Sabke liye nahi hai, he told. It is a supreme scripture. It is the cream of all spiritual literature. It cannot be understood by theoretical analysis. Not merely by reading Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita can its meaning be realized. One must live purely and hear from a genuine devotee. So, you know, it is so amazing. Yet, like I mentioned earlier, when his disciple, Dr. Sambhit Ananda, okay, was wrote a PhD thesis called History and Literature of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. This book is there. And in fact, actually many of us based our understanding of the acharyas from his book only. And he got his PhD from the University of London. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he himself had actually worked on the thesis to help him. Right? And he had written about this in The Harmonist. He ran a 1,000-page draft mentioning, Mr. Das did not take recourse to any treaties. Okay? And he has been able to keep up the true historian spirit. Basically, he wrote a 100,000-page article glorifying his disciple. for getting a PhD thesis from University of London.
Like that.
So these are the few pastimes and the mood. So I'll just summarize these two verses we are discussing today. Narada Muni is mentioning how one cannot understand Krishna simply by, you know, other methods. Although they may be very bona fide methods of karma, jnana, one requires bhakti. And we saw how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, although very cutting in his demeanor, but he was also very much emphasizing the true spirit of studying or speaking Harikatha, which is by living purely, which is by having the bhavana of actually Hari Seva, serving the Lord. Through that only can actually one understand the real truths of the Shastra. Else, one goes on reading and studying so many books, Bahu Shastra, Bahu Vakya, Chitta Brahma Hoy, but your mind becomes disturbed and one ends up nowhere. Right. So with this, we'd like to end. Jai Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna.